Hello and welcome to our 2025 Salt and Light Hour Christmas special. I'm Deacon Pedro, and I'm very, very excited because we are dedicating this whole hour to a group of women who are very special to my heart, the Daughters of St. Paul. And to help me on this little journey, can we call it a journey? I'm joined by Sister Marie Paul Curley, who is no stranger to any of you. Sister Marie Paul, welcome to the Salt and Light Hour, but I think you should be welcoming me because I feel like I'm in your space.
Well, that was a lovely introduction. Thank you so much. Yes, you are. I feel, you know, we've collaborated. I can't even remember when we started doing the Windows to the
Probably
Soul
15 years ago.
Film reviews, yeah. Yeah. And commentaries. So, and I've never had a chance to kind of bring everybody on a little tour of the convent and get to know my community, which is it's such an incredible group of
yes.
joyful women, passionately in love with Christ, and so zealous, really, in terms yeah. of sharing God's love with everyone they meet. They are a powerful witness for me every day.
Yeah, well, so, okay. I'm very excited to go on tour with you in your convent. So people might, I mean, they've heard you, they've heard Daughters of St. Paul, but maybe they don't know who the Daughters of St. Paul are. So can you tell us a little bit about the congregation? Who are the Daughters of St. Paul?
I would love to. So the Daughters of St. Paul, who are known somewhat on social media as hashtag media nuns,
yeah.
Are a group of women. A congregation around the world, a worldwide congregation of sisters who are dedicated to evangelizing with the media and with our lives first of all, mm-hmm. of course, and then with all the forms of communication. We were founded, I'm going to take us on a quick 100-year journey here.
Oh, wow.
We were founded in 1915. Okay. By Blessed James Alberione mm-hmm. in northern Italy, who we kind of count our foundation from the day that he met our co-foundress, Mother Tecla Merlo,
okay.
who had the amazing vision to collaborate closely with this man of God, this priest from the Diocese of Alba, who was really inspired even from his seminary days mm-hmm. to work with the media to evangelize. And so we started off really small. In the middle of World War I, our founder was getting us started, and we started out by sewing uniforms instead of working at printing. So every step was led by God's providence. So when the founder could see that the Holy Spirit was nudging him this way, he would open that door and the sisters would go through and pioneer in a new area, because it wasn't really common for women to work with the press at that
no.
time.
Okay. So yeah. Okay. So then the original idea would have been to do press, to print,
yeah.
print media. I mean, because yeah. movies and radio existed at the time. Was that part of Father Alberione's vision?
We really started with the printing press, and
yeah.
actually we started with diocesan newspapers first, and then okay. gradually expanded with the Bible and getting
oh.
catechisms into the hands of the families. And then as soon as we could, we got into radio and then film and then television. So
yeah.
it all just kind of, our founder really said that, you know, whatever human progress puts into the hands of the world, that's what the Daughters of St. Paul and our brother community, the Society of St. Paul,
okay.
That's our mission, is to use those means for the sake of the gospel.
Okay.
He also, I mean, one way he looked at it was, he was saying, if St. Paul were alive today,
yeah. where would he be? Yeah.
St. Paul would be using the media to spread the gospel. You
yeah,
know,
of
St.
course.
Paul did, you know, he traveled everywhere
yeah.
and he wrote letters.
Yep.
He would be on television.
Yeah,
he would be on
social media. Yeah, exactly.
He would be everywhere.
Yeah, that's right. So then you would have started with the printing press. You moved on to radio, television, and of course now you're on the internet, social media. It was founded in Italy. I mean, obviously you're not in Italy, so how many in how many countries are you, and about how many sisters are there worldwide?
So we're a pretty small community when you look at the ancient congregations, orders like the Franciscans.
Yeah.
We are about 1,800 sisters, but we are in 50 countries. We're scattered all over all five continents. We're all over because the whole point is to spread the gospel.
Right.
And those little seeds, that little seeds that the sisters' presence are in all of those countries, you could do so much good with the media. You can multiply the message of the gospel and the love of Christ for people. So,
right.
And the
convent in Boston where you live
is it's our mother house for the United States and English speaking Canada. Our sisters who speak French in Canada have their presence there as well. And but in English speaking Canada and the United States, we all come back to the Boston area for our annual retreat. And to have a couple of days of like updating together. So the mother house here is quite big. It is our publishing house community.
Okay.
It is our senior sisters community. So the sisters who need a little more assistance or we have a sister who's turning 100 this coming year. Like the sisters are here. We also have our novitiate here.
Okay.
And we also have our provincial government. Which is basically the sisters who help to coordinate and oversee and lead the sisters throughout the United States and Canada. So, So it's about last count, we were like 72 sisters in this community.
Okay, I was going to ask you, 72 sisters live in this big convent, but you also have, it's like you have a printing press and there's a publishing like offices and there's a recording studio.
Yeah, it's quite a complex because and I'm looking forward to taking you on a little tour.
Yes,
it's
I'd
to
love
stop
to.
In a couple little spots. But it's quite a complex, and you can so it's the convent, it's also our areas of apostolate. Mm-hmm. We actually used to have several printing presses and a bindery here in this house. We no longer do that because really you have to have the presses running 24 hours a day to justify the expense of them. So we don't do that anymore, but this is where everything happens in terms of our digital apostolate, where we meet, although we do also meet online quite a bit. We have team members that are in virtual land when we get together.
Yeah.
So it's really, it's an amazing place, because you've got so many people, so many different personalities, we have staff, we have lay staff, but when we're getting together for meals and things, it's all women.
Mm-hmm.
And so the kitchen is always fun because everybody's got their own way of doing the dishes.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I mean, it's just
like having a family, a big family.
It's a very big family. Yes.
A big family. Okay. So then I'm looking forward to going on tour so you can show us around. I also looking forward to you telling us briefly who else we're going to meet during this hour. But it's our Christmas special, maybe tell us a little bit quickly what Christmas is like at the convent.
Oh my goodness. It's so beautiful. The music, the spirit of preparation, like just going through Advent together. But then we also really believe in, the church gives us these seasons. Christmas is a season.
Mm-hmm.
So we focus on that joy of the incarnation of God's like presence with us and, that he took the form of a baby to be with us. And so there's nativities all over the convent.
Yeah.
There's Christmas, there's multiple Christmas trees. I'm going to have to count when I go around. I don't know how many we have.
Do you have to do a secret Santa?
We do Kris Kringle. So we actually do spiritual, like we have spiritual partners that nobody knows who they are through Advent.
Good.
And then, on Christmas, we usually exchange a little memento or something together. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
And we have wonderful meals together. The Christmas Day meal, the sisters prepare most of it. And so a lot of the sisters love to bake. So you've got an amazing spread.
Wonderful.
We're so deeply blessed.
Wonderful. Okay, so then you're going to take us on a tour, but we're also going to get to meet a few other sisters today.
You will. I am so happy to introduce you to one of our novices, Catherine,
mm-hmm.
who's preparing for her first vows, and our publisher, Sister Christina.
Uh-huh.
And also one of the choir members, since you're going to be hopefully enjoying some of our Christmas music, Sister Tracy Mathia will be joining us also for a little bit. So
okay, great.
Should
great.
Be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Okay, good. So then maybe we can start with a song before we meet all these other sisters, because you guys record music, go figure. So here is from one of the Daughters of St. Paul's Christmas album, Silent Night, Lord of My Life, from the Daughters of St. Paul's Christmas album, Come to Bethlehem. That was the Daughters of St. Paul with Silent Night, Lord of My Life, from their album, Come to Bethlehem. So beautiful.
Thank you so much, Deacon Pedro. Oh. It is beautiful.
Yeah, but it is. Okay.
I am so eager to take you on a little tour. Can we go for a walk?
Absolutely. I got my shoes on. Let's go.
Our convent is a whole complex of buildings, and the first one, really the most important one in the heart of our convent, is where every tour of the convent starts, in the chapel, so that we can visit with the most important resident of the convent, Jesus in the Most Holy Eucharist. Here, our sisters make daily meditation, our morning and evening prayers together, participate in daily Mass, and for many of us, the highlight of our day after Mass is a daily hour of adoration. So together, let's start our tour with a little prayer. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your most holy cross, you have redeemed the world. The next building has our front door and reception area and our library, with two floors with our senior sisters above that.
And here is Sister Mary Augustine. Hey, Sister Mary Augustine, how long have you been a daughter of St. Paul?
Oh, I've entered in 1955, so 70 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
I entered the convent.
Wow. And where have you been as a daughter of St. Paul?
30 years here in the States, in almost all of our convents, doing our missionary work. And then I was asked to go to Africa, and I went to Nairobi, and I worked with the postulants and novices there in our mission. So I taught them everything about our mission, and I loved it over there. The people are so very nice. And
wow, that's really beautiful. Thank you for sharing, and thank you for all your missionary years. And I'll see you at evening prayer.
Sister Augustine inspires me every day with her smile and her generous spirit. We move along now to the next building, which has the offices of the sisters who work in our publishing house. In our media mission, we publish books, but we also produce podcasts, videos, and music. Our Pauline Media Studies offers media literacy education, especially in the context of faith formation, which is how some of the other sisters and I occasionally offer film or video game reviews and commentaries. And now, of course, we're also talking a lot about AI. Here we are at the office of Sister Maria Grace, who is one of our editors. So, Sister Maria Grace, what are you up to today?
Hi, I'm working on a children's book, editing a children's book. It's a rhyming picture book. I'm a kid's book editor.
That's wonderful. And how does that work? Like when you work with authors, and what kind of books are you looking for?
Well, this author is actually, this is her second book, and she's actually really good at this. It's much harder than you think to write rhyming text for picture books. But it's so much fun going back and forth with them, polishing it, making it the best it can be. And coming up with a result, like something that will really help children to know God, to want to know him more, to want to be part of the church.
And you also helped make our books for children really fun. I have to say, they're always so appealing. I always want to read them.
Oh, thank you. I love children's books.
Thank you, Sister Maria Grace.
You're welcome.
As we continue over to the next building, we pass by our art and photography studios in our design department, where our books are laid out page by page and designed, as well as our web store office and our storeroom. Now we're visiting Sister Catherine Bernadette in her office. Sister Catherine Bernadette, tell us, what do you do here and what are you up to today?
I am the sales manager of our Pauline Book and Media publishing house. And today I have been doing a lot of last minute orders because we are going to be doing our inventory next week.
Oh, yes.
And so there's a lot of orders to get completed and then last minute rushes. So we've been just doing a lot of running around, answering phones and making sure things will get out so they will get under the tree on time.
Now, I've heard really good things about how you and the staff that you work with are on the phone with people. Like, it's really more than just taking an order most of the time, isn't it?
There, a lot of times, yeah. People will call up and they have more than just, Sister, can I place an order today? It's I have a customer that's looking for something to answer this question, or someone is going through a real difficult time in their life. Do you have any suggestions? And so a lot of times we will speak to them about what the issue is that they're trying to convey to us or confide in us, and help them so that they can help their customers as well with being able to have a book from Pauline Books and Media that will fill that exact need.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for taking a minute with us. I know things are really busy right now, so I'll see you later. I'd love to keep going, but I think we have time for just one more stop on our tour with Sister Julie Benedicta.
Hello, and welcome back to Dare to Dwell, a podcast with the Daughters of St. Paul.
Oh, that sounds really great. Hey, Sister Benedicta, what are you working on?
I'm just editing the next episode of our podcast.
Ooh, and it is called?
Dare to Dwell, a podcast with the Daughters of St. Paul. Very creative subtitle.
Well, at least people will be able to find
it. It's clear, yes.
But isn't it so important that we're not just doing books, but we're doing music and podcasts and videos and everything?
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Sister Carly Paula and I run our audiovisual studio. And so we take care of the podcast. We take care of our YouTube channels. We take care of all that sort of thing.
And you do some lovely things, the storybook time with the kids.
Those are fun.
The specials that you do, like an upcoming series for Lent this year.
Yeah, we have a great series coming up for Lent.
Yeah. So anyway, I'll have to encourage people to check it out. We're going to give our website at the end of the episode. All right. Thanks for letting me interrupt you.
Of course. Good to see you.
Okay. Take care. And that's it for our tour today. Just a really quick glimpse of the inside of our convent. And hopefully it gives you some idea of the wonderful sisters whom I live with, who carry out the Pauline mission with their prayer, their creativity, and their hard work.
Wow, sister, that was what a walk around. You certainly get your steps going around this convent.
Oh, we do. If I don't do anything special, like I don't even help washing the dishes, we're talking 6,000 to 7,000 steps.
But just from like your room to the chapel.
Chapel and then to my office where I work in the publishing house. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun just getting that exercise in.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. Okay. So who are we going to meet now?
I want to introduce you to one of our novices, Catherine, who is joining us now. And Catherine is originally from Alexandria, Virginia. And she is at a very important moment in her formation. And I want to let her speak all about it.
Welcome, Sister Catherine.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you both. It's great to be here.
I just have a quick question. A quick question before you even start. So we've all both have just called you Sister Catherine. So you, mm-hmm. At what point do we start calling a young novice sister? How does that
work? I was actually about to say, I have a fun fact, which is every community is a little bit different. In our community, in the Daughters of St. Paul, we actually don't go by sister as novices. So I'm just Catherine, but sometimes I offer people the option of calling me novice Catherine because it's awkward to be calling everyone sister and then not have anything to call me. But the reason for that is because when you're a novice, it's kind of implied in the name, but like you're a newbie. So you're studying to be a sister. You're preparing to be a religious sister, but you're not technically a religious sister yet until the end of your novitiate, which is the time of being a novice, which for us in our community is 2 years. So yeah, right now I'm just regular old Catherine, but you can start calling me sister when I make my first vows, hopefully in this coming February, actually.
Oh, okay. So 2 years in February. So you've entered the community, I guess, a year, almost 2 years now.
Actually, yeah. So in our community, we have before you even start novitiate, which is the more serious kind of commitment. It's the more serious time to start preparing for vows. We actually have a preparation stage before that. Many religious communities have this same stage. It's called postulancy. Sometimes you might hear people talk about a candidacy or aspirancy. There are lots of different words for it, but basically what it is a time for a young woman in the case of sisters or a young man in the case of a male religious community, a young person to kind of get to know the vocation from the inside. So it's a little bit more time to live in the community, you know, start taking classes, things like that. But for us, that's 2 years as a postulant, followed by 2 years as a novice, which is that more serious commitment. Okay. And then at the end of that time, so 4 years total, you make your first vows, the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, which make you a religious. And in our community, we have about 5 years of temporary vows. So you renew them every year as you continue to affirm, yes, Lord, I believe this is what you're calling me to. And the community does the same. And then after those 5 years, at the end, you can make what is called perpetual profession, which, as the name says, is forever. So beginning to end, it's about 9 years. but unless there's a historic pandemic, but for the most part, right. That's more or less what the journey looks like. Yeah.
Okay. We're not going to ask Sister Paul how long it's been for her.
Oh, please don't. But I just wanted to say that one of the reasons I called Catherine sister is I need to start practicing.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Her first profession is coming up really soon.
Okay,
that's right.
So then,
it's only 2 months away.
Yeah,
it's only 2 months away. And actually, in our community, we also have the tradition of sisters retain their baptismal name, but they have the option of adding a religious name as well. So no spoilers, but in 2 months, you might have to start getting used to calling me something else too. So it's all very exciting.
Okay, so you're not going to tell us what that new name is if there's going
to
be
one? Oh, no, I'm sworn to secrecy.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so then what drew you to the daughters, or how did you come across the daughters?
So the way I came across the daughters was actually God had to make it really obvious for me. I grew up down the street from our Pauline Book and Media Center, our bookstore and convent in Alexandria, Virginia. So I lived about a 15-minute walk from that book center. Mm-hmm. And that was the place that my family and I would go to get Catholic resources growing up. So like anytime there was a new document from the Vatican, or anytime we wanted like a gift for a sacramental occasion or something like that, or in my case, anytime I wanted to go pray at the nearest chapel, Pauline Books and Media was always there. So I grew up kind of knowing the sisters ambiently, you could say, but I didn't really start discerning with our community specifically until later. When I was in high school, a friend of mine invited me to come to the Discernment 101 series, which is something that we still do. It's basically kind of what it sounds like. It's a class on how to discern God's will for you. And there's talks and prayer. And I started going to that, not because I was interested in discerning with our community, but just because I said, well, you know, I'm interested in being a sister and this is a nice resource and maybe I'll just check it out. So it wasn't for many years that I started to realize, well, if every time I visit this particular convent and these particular sisters, I feel so at home, my relationship with Jesus is really growing, I'm really attracted to their way of prayer. I was like, huh, maybe I should just discern with you, sister. So it kind of took me a while, but I will say, you know, God's patience cannot be outdone and his timing is always perfect. So that's how I met our sisters. And I would say the prayer, the style of Eucharistic adoration and prayer with the scripture that we do, that's really what drew me in at first.
Okay. I would think that there is something about the specific media charism that also attracts you.
Well, you know what's funny? I started to get to know our charism, or like our mission and spirituality in the mm-hmm. church, more so after I entered than before. Sometimes mm-hmm. that surprises people, but I think for me, I always knew I was attracted to religious life because I really desired to belong totally to the Lord from very early days. But that specific flavor of what is the mission where God wants me to give my life, I didn't really discover that until mm-hmm. after I entered the daughters. I was really taking a leap of faith. But for me, something that I really, that kind of helped me realize this mission is where I'm called to be forever, is the, I had a class where I was reading some of the documents that are specific to our community, not quite our rule of life or constitutions, but some of the other documents that help us to learn about that. And one of the former superiors of the male branch of our community, the Society of St. Paul, wrote a beautiful document about what it means to be an apostle communicator. And he said that a Pauline is someone who translates her personal and also community life of faith and encounter with Christ into words, images, bites, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just this whole idea that we, by in translating our encounter with Christ into these media, we are giving people what we ourselves have received. And I realized in that moment, this person I've never even met has put words to this idea of my vocation that has been in my heart my whole life. And so for me, it was really something I discovered after I entered the community. And I'm very grateful that I did.
Wow, what a beautiful, beautiful story. And I know that probably every sister has a similar story because they're all beautiful calling stories. Mm-hmm. It's been so great meeting you, Catherine. And Sister Marie Paul, thank you for pulling Catherine from wherever she's, aren't you supposed to be studying or something? Or are you?
Yeah, actually, even worse, I'm supposed to be working. I work in our IT department, so there's always work to do.
Oh, yes, always work to do. Never never a dull day for the Daughters of St. Paul.
Amen.
Thank you.
Never.
Never.
Thanks
thank you,
so
Catherine.
Much. It was great
yes,
to be here.
It's great to meet you.
Thanks to Sister Catherine.
Sister
to be, Catherine.
Yes. Coming up on this special Christmas edition of the Salt and Light Hour, Sister Marie Paul Curley will be back, and we're going to get to meet the publisher, and we'll also learn more about the music, and we'll get to listen to more music. So stay tuned. You're listening to the Salt and Light Hour 2025 Christmas special featuring the Daughters of St. Paul. Here now are the Daughters of St. Paul with Angels We Have Heard on High from their album, Come to Bethlehem. Daughters of St. Paul with Angels We Have Heard on High from their album, Come to Bethlehem.
And now, Deacon Pedro,
yep.
I would like to introduce to you and to our listeners, Sister Christina, who is our publisher for Pauline Books and Media, and also has another very important role in the community that is music related.
Hi, Sister Marie Paul. Hi, Deacon Pedro. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, welcome, Sister Christina. So good to see you. And I understand that you listen to Christmas music all year round.
Oh, yes.
Like,
yes,
all the time.
As often as possible. Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Any particular song or just any?
Oh, I have a very extensive curated playlist of all of my favorite Christmas music. And I am a firm believer that it can be Christmas in your heart any time of the year. Any time of the year is a good time to celebrate the incarnation of our Lord.
Okay, and then just to clarify, because you're such a holy, holy looking person, are you listening? are these like religious Christmas songs, or are you listening to like All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth, or like everything?
That's such a good question. My Christmas music is mostly religious.
Yeah,
but I have no problem with the fun stuff, but
yeah. Walking around the Christmas tree is pretty good. Yeah.
For this Christmas hour, I was listening to one of my favorites, which is the Point of Grace album from like the 90s.
Such a good album. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's a whole other conversation because we're supposed to be talking about books.
And publishing.
Yeah.
Because I hear Sister Marie Paul tells me I'm the publisher at Pauline Books and Media.
Yeah. Yes. So explain that, because I know Sister Marie Paul, you're one of the editors. So like, explain how the publishing arm works.
So the Publishing House of the Daughters of St. Paul is an aspect of our communications ministry and how we share the gospel with the world. As the publisher, I am the sister who oversees all of the operations within the publishing house. Okay. So I direct traffic.
So you're the big
publishing
boss.
House. Yeah, I'm the big boss, and I'm very intimidating. But that's why I listen to Christmas music all year.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So you don't kill the people under you. So then, how many editors? Because Sister Marie Paul, you're an editor.
That's correct. Yes, I am one of the acquisition editors for our books for adults, and we actually have 2.5 or 3 children's editors, depending on one of the sisters is finishing up school. So she helps out in editorial.
She's a whole editor. She is a whole
editor.
She's
not just a half editor. So then, Sister Christina, as publisher, are you doing any editing, or you're kind of deciding what projects go through? Like, what does the role entail?
So I used to do editing. I loved editing children's books. I did that for many years. I did all kinds of editing. At this point, though, I do not, but I get to help review all the manuscripts. So the publisher doesn't like make the choices all on her own, but we have a very collaborative process. Our different departments will review the manuscripts. We talk about them together because we want to make sure that our projects work really well for our marketing team, for design, for production. So everybody gets involved. But I really do coordinate among all of the departments and help make sure everything's working smoothly. And if a final decision has to be made, I'm the lucky one who gets to make them. Yeah.
You bring down the mallet.
And
you're speaking only about the English language publishing. Is this the only English publishing house for the daughters in the world?
No. So since we're an international congregation, we do publishing all around the world. Uh-huh. We have other nations where our sisters are, where they publish in English as well.
Okay.
And sometimes we're able to carry each other's books. Sometimes we're able to also do translations from our sisters in other countries. One of the things we've really enjoyed in the past several years is doing English translations of Korean graphic novels on the saints. Our sisters in Korea done such an excellent, excellent job with graphic novels on the saints. And it's just such a fun format for kids and, frankly, at this point, grownups, I think, to get to know the saints and to enjoy that form of storytelling, which is so unique.
Yeah, it is. So, it is so unique. And it's, I mean, my kids love, they have all a bunch of saint graphic novels. How many books are you publishing a year?
We do about 20 a year.
Oh, wow.
And it can fluctuate a little more, a little less, depending on the year and what the projects are. So,
right. And as you grow, and maybe as you're looking at 2026, is there a particular emphasis that you as a publishing house are looking towards, like more children's or more graphic novels or any particular themes?
So we're really focusing on supporting the faith of families and children and people who work with children, so teachers and educators. We really want to help support their good work and the faith lives of our families.
Yeah. Okay. And then it's fair to say that all the books can be purchased online at the daughters, the Pauline Books and Media website.
Yeah. PaulineStore.com in the US.
Yeah.
And in Canada, I believe it's PaulineStore.ca.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And people who have stores in their communities will be familiar with where the Pauline Books and Media store is. That's also where you can find the books. So then what is your other role that has to do with music?
Oh, my other role is I'm the community organist. And at our mother house here in Boston, so we have an organ in our chapel, and up until recently, we've always had several organists in the community. But for the past year or so, I have been the one and only organist in our mother house community here in Boston. So I get to do all the fun stuff. And that includes planning for Christmas, which to me is a lot of fun.
Okay. Are you playing organ at every liturgy or?
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
well,
you are.
Okay. No. So I play the organ at all of the big liturgies.
Okay.
And right now, since I'm the solo organist, we have some very talented singers, as those who just heard our Christmas music would understand. So we do some a cappella these days.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fun. Okay. So next time I'm visiting, we need to get some organ music playing. Do you do like the
put
feet
in a request
and everything? Are you following like four staffs and playing like both feet?
I do the
that
feet
is so
and
amazing.
Yep.
I'm so impressed.
I was trained by my parish organist as a kid. My family had an organ, and our parish organist gave lessons, and
so
for
impressed.
7 years he taught me how to play the organ. And he showed me how to play it at Mass. So he let me kind of apprentice with him, and he let me play like one of the hymns, because you have to learn like the rhythm of the liturgy and the timing of things. So my organ teacher taught me all of this. And he played for my final profession.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He passed away a few years ago. So.
Okay, so I'm
rest
so impressed.
In
I mean,
peace, but,
anybody can be publisher, but not everybody can be an organist. So I'm so, so amazed.
Only if you grow up with an organ in your family living room.
Yes, which most people do not. Sister Christina, it's been so fun having you with us today. Always fun spending time with you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to Sister Marie Paul for bringing you on. We're going to be very soon learning more about more music and also about the famous Daughters of St. Paul Christmas concerts. So everybody stay tuned.
Deacon Pedro, I want to introduce you to one of our choir members. I love our sister's music, and I was so happy that Sister Tracy Mathia was able to join us for this episode so that she could talk a little bit about what it's like to be in the choir. Welcome, Sister Tracy.
Welcome,
Thank you.
Sister
Thanks for having
Tracy.
Me.
Yes, it's so good
Thank
to see you.
You.
So, and I know that music, especially at this time of the year, is like all you guys do.
Yeah, it kind of feels like that, but not really.
No. Yeah. How important is the music in the life of the Daughters of St. Paul?
It's very much a part of our day-to-day existence. It's how we pray. It's how we worship. It's how we have a good time, I think. And especially around Christmas time, it's how we share that spirit that we have that I think attracted me when I visited the sisters. It's just this real authentic sense of people that follow the Lord, but we're really human. And we can take ourselves seriously, but we can also take ourselves lightly. And Christmas music has a way of bringing that all together. Yeah. And I think our concerts encapsulate that. So being able to share it with the general public and allow it to be a vehicle of evangelization, but more than anything, just to kind of let people into what it's like to be a woman religious, to live in a community, and to have faith as the main center point of your life, I think is enlightening for some, and just opens a door to faith.
Yeah. So tell us a little more about these Christmas concerts. Like who came up with that idea? How long ago? And what did they look like?
I wasn't a part of it, when it first started. But what I did encounter when I first visited was the sisters gave me one of our CDs as just sort of a gift. I had just met them, and they gave me a Christmas album. Mm-hmm. And I remember it was a cassette tape in my car, and just being really moved by the blend of voices and this feminine sound, but yet full of faith. And so that was years ago. And over the years, I got involved with the choir, you know, when I was a pre-postulant, actually, one of the sisters got sick, and they were recording an album. And the director, I guess, would listen to us as we would process up to go to communion. And she figured, oh, that postulant could probably blend in, you know. So I ended up singing on an album, like my second year in the community. Oh. But these concerts that you asked about, these are live performances that started out, I would say, over 25 years ago for sure. Mm. And the sisters were just in need of some extra financial support. And they had some good friends in New York, and it was a couple, and they were like, well, what do you do? Do you do anything? We'll do a fundraiser for you, but do you do anything? And they were like, well, we sing. So they hosted a little concert, and the sisters went and basically sang like a choir would sing. You know, they had their binders. They just stood there, sang their little songs, never looked up, I think, from the books. And they just, you know, it became a tradition where we would do these Christmas concerts, and it's kind of evolved since then. The sisters, we've all evolved as well, mm-hmm. gotten a little older, but involved other sisters as well, the younger sisters as well. So it's just a great opportunity to
celebrate. Okay, and there are several. So you mentioned New York. You obviously have mm-hmm. concerts in Boston and in other places as well, right?
Yeah. We do.
Okay, and I have so many more questions that we don't have time for, but I'm just curious. So you were a postulant. Were you thinking, I'd love to join the choir? Or was this just something you have to join the choir because you just happen to sing?
I know. Yeah, it's like the question, do all the sisters wear glasses? Because sometimes you see all the pictures with sisters and glasses. But no. You don't have to sing to be a Daughter of St. Paul.
Okay.
But when I listened to that album of the sisters, mm-hmm. I was singing along. And I thought, oh, you know, I feel like I could kind of blend with them. And so that was sort of a little root or a little seed at the time. And then I was happy. I was happy to involve myself in ministry this way.
And is your role now, I mean, are you very involved in the choir? You're not like the mm-hmm. choir director or the concert master or...
No, I would say another sister's that more of a director. But I am kind of a director when it comes to our concerts. And more of the production of the performance.
Okay.
I do kind of, I say non-choreography, you know?
Because it's more than just, you're not just standing like a choir reading from a book. You guys do a little dance routines and there's
some. Yeah, a little. You know, we kind of do it, we try to do it as appropriately as it would be for you know, the truth of who we are, which is we're not trained Broadway performers, but we do want to express through the body what we're singing about. So here and there, we'll throw in a few moves.
Yeah, I know. There's so much fun. Yeah, it's not, so the listeners know, it's not like the Rockettes. They're not doing, you know, high kicks, but there are
not
some...
high kicks, but sometimes we do kick.
Sometimes low kicks.
Low kicks.
And for, I think that for a lot of people in the community, maybe this is how they know the Daughters of St. Paul, because they go to this Christmas tradition every year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We used to do it here in the mother house, in our mother house chapel, but we just like outgrew it. There were so many people that were stuffing into the chapel. We're like, we got to get out of here. It'll be a fire hazard. So now we do it at an auditorium in Natick.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then outside of your involvement with the choir and with the music, mm-hmm. what is your mm-hmm. regular role?
Normally I'm director of Pauline Mission Advancement. So I'm kind of a coordinator for building relationships, funding, looking for sources of support for the works of our apostolate.
Okay. And our listeners have been learning about the apostolate all throughout this hour. So maybe it's good that we're ending with you so you can put in a plug for.
Yes.
They need support.
Of course. Yeah. Well, anybody can imagine. I mean, media production is always costly.
Yeah.
Anything that you do that involves technology or anything that's production oriented, you have costs. So we're always trying to find ways to supplement and to build collaborations and relationships that can help us just expand and mm-hmm. advance the gospel. Because that's what we're called to do. We're called to multiply the seed and be generous about reaching out. And so anyone who can lend a hand in that part of our mission we would invite you, if you go on our website, the donate button is right there, right on the front page, and it follows you wherever you go. So if you feel stirring, you know, a stirring that you too would like to advance the evangelization mission of the church through the work of the Daughters of St. Paul, I would encourage you to make that gift, because it makes you a collaborator in the work of what Jesus called us to do, which is to spread the truth of the fact that he came to love us and save us. And so many people need to know that. So be a co-apostle with us and support us.
Oh, that's so good. I'm so glad we asked you, because you did it. So I was going to at the end of the show by saying, you know, think of supporting the Daughters of St. Paul, but you said it so much better. And we'll make sure that everybody knows that website, you know, off the top of their head. Sister Great. Tracy, we've heard Silent Night and mm-hmm. Angels We Have Heard on High. But we thought that since you're actually in the recording, maybe you can help us by introducing the final song that we're going to hear on our program.
Yeah, this final song, it's a real favorite. It's one of mine, the absolute favorites. Every time I hear it at Christmas time, I'm so moved, because it speaks of the fact that God pierces through the darkness of night with the light of his coming. And so we can proclaim that night was holy. The song is "O Holy Night." And I would say what's different about this arrangement is that it's the full choir singing unison through the whole thing, which normally there's like a soloist, you know, and sometimes mm-hmm. it's kind of a showy song, but we really, really tried to come together and blend together as one to show that we all bow in worship before the presence of Jesus as he comes so humbly at Christmas, and also comes to meet us in our day-to-day life.
Yeah, it's a beautiful arrangement of what I would say one of the best worship songs ever. Mm. So thank you, Sister Tracy. It's been so good meeting you. And thank you for telling us a little bit about what you do.
Well, thanks for having me.
Sister Marie Paul, this has been so much fun. Thank you for hosting us for this Christmas special.
Well, thank you for the idea of doing it. And I hope everyone's enjoyed getting to know a little bit of an inside glimpse of the convent and my beautiful community of sisters that are just women on fire with the love of God.
Absolutely. And I hope that if they're interested in learning a little more, they can go to your website, pauline.org. That's probably the best place, pauline.org. So, Sister Paul, we're going to end with "O Holy Night." So here are the Daughters of St. Paul with their arrangement of "O Holy Night." Listening to the Daughters of St. Paul with "O Holy Night." Sister, we like to end the show with a prayer, and I thought that maybe in the spirit of St. Paul, maybe you can leave all our listeners with a special Christmas blessing or prayer.
Yes, I'd love to.
On behalf of all the Daughters of St. Paul.
I'd love to. Lord, we ask you for the grace to come to know your love for us. We ask for the grace to be signs and witnesses of your love to those who need to know that they are loved. We ask you for the grace to radiate that love to everyone we meet, whether it's directly through talking about you or indirectly just by our trust in you, our joy in you, our serenity, even in difficult moments. And we ask you to bless us, to bless every listener, every producer, everybody who's worked on this show. We ask you to bless the sisters as well, so that we can be always closer to your heart, that we can then love with your heart in a world that so much needs your love. And we ask all of this, praising you for the gift of your presence with us, and praising you in a special way for the gift of the incarnation and for the gift of the Most Holy Eucharist, your body and blood, with us and available to us at every Mass and in every Catholic Church. And we ask all of this, we praise you and bless you in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Jesus, our Lord, our newborn King. Sister Marie Paul, thank you so, so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to you and to all your sisters. And have a Merry Christmas.
And a very blessed Christmas to all of you.
And to all our listeners, thank you for being with us today, for spending this time with us. May you and your loved ones also have a blessed Christmas season. I'm Deacon Pedro, and this has been our 2025 Salt and Light Hour Christmas special featuring the Daughters of St. Paul.